Amen.
I sense this in my heart that for some, you may be here today. You may have carried a struggle with you from 2018 into this month. Somebody, you may be experiencing what are called the January blues. How many of you ever heard of that phrase before? It's due to less daylight, cold, the end of a holiday. Maybe for some of you, it's credit card payments coming in, and you're looking at it and say, I didn't spend that much, did I? And you're surprised. And then there's what's called, at this time of the year as well, if that's not enough, it's called seasonal affective disorder. It's associated with the way you think and you feel, again, attributed to the cold, the shorter days, the less sunlight, and it has a psychological impact on your life. Maybe that's what you're going through, and if you're going through anything like that, where you're feeling this level of, you know, depression, or just you're not feeling just up to it, I want to just encourage you today, don't separate yourself from people. You need people in your life. You need this time in your life to be together with one another. And I know people have told me, well, it's just so hard for me to come, you know, all the people. Listen, nobody's looking at you in particular today, okay? Nobody, when they saw you come in, nobody said, oh, look at that, there's so-and-so. No, nobody did that. But you need one another. And you need to be in the environment. You need the worship today. You need that in your heart, in your life. Didn't our worship team, didn't they do just amazing today? Come on, let's give it up for them. Well, what you cannot do, and you need to hear me when I say this, you can't make long-term decisions based on a short-term feeling. Hear that right now. Be cautious. And be aware of that in your life. Be very cautious about the decisions that you make right now. Some, you may be suffering from something that is very personal in your life. Maybe it's a family issue that's just bringing these waves of depression over your life. And the enemy will always take those and he will compound them and make them even worse than what they actually are. I had this man call me this week that lives in Southern California, and I haven't seen him. I was trying to figure it out. It's been 4 or 5 years, and he called me out of the blue. I met him when I was preaching out there years ago, and he called me, and he says, you're the only one I can talk to about this. And I just thought for a minute. I didn't tell him what I was thinking, but I thought, my goodness, if I'm the only one that you can talk to about this, you're in trouble already, because I haven't seen the guy in it's been 4 or 5 years, I know, and he began to tell me all these things that have been going on in his life. And you know, the reality of it is we're only steps away from victory in our lives, or steps away from something really harming or hurting our lives. And we need people in our lives that can help us to get through that and not camp and live in the junk in the past of our lives, but to move forward into what God has for us. And sometimes the bigger the setbacks in our lives, the bigger Christ wants to come and be a part of our lives. And in the darkest moments of our lives, he is working something out in our lives. He's working something out on your behalf. Micah chapter 7, verse 7, he says, Therefore I'll look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And then he makes this declaration, don't rejoice over me, enemy. Some of you may need to say that sometime. The enemy loves to rejoice over you when you're hurting, when something's not going your way. He loves to rejoice. But here the Bible says, don't rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I'll get back up again. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. When I fall, and you will, the Bible says, a just man will fall down 7 times, but he rises up again. When I fall, I rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord, He shines a light in the middle of that. And the reality is, I may be down now. I may be in trouble. I may be hurting inside. And maybe you're here and no one else knows about this except you and God. I want you to know today that He is not going to leave you there. That God loves you too much to leave you in any darkness. He loves you too much to leave you on the ground if you have fallen. He's going to lift you up. He's going to bless your life. And He's going to send you on to the vision, to the calling, to the purpose that He has set you apart for. And you need to place your life in His hand. You need to trust Him with all of your heart and all of your life. Because you will rise. You will rise again. I feel like I'm speaking that over somebody's life today, that you're in a state where you have fallen down and everybody is telling you around you. In reality, when it's everybody, it's only one or two. But the enemy wants to say, well, everybody is saying this. No, they're not. One or two people are saying it, and they don't know what they're saying. So let's get that right here this morning. Not everybody is saying it. Amen? You will rise. It may be dark, but God's going to shine His light on you. He'll never leave you alone. He doesn't leave you out in the cold. I want to read this scripture, Psalm 91. I love the whole chapter, and I want to bring some comfort and hope into your life today. David says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." Come on. He's going to deliver you from the snares today. "He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you'll take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands you shall bear, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. Come on. He's working out something better in you today. And maybe for some, you could have made a better decision. You could have walked in a different way. But even in the middle of that, God still loves you. And He's redeemed you. And He's in the process of redeeming you and I from wherever it is that we've been, whatever it is that we've done. God's not mad at you. And I just want to encourage somebody for what's next today. And I just want to remind you of a couple things today. And I'm only going to be a couple more moments. Number one, you have to remember it, or you have to experience God's forgiveness for the first time. Somebody needs to hear this. I experience so much when I hear or read these scriptures. And if you've never done this, if you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus, let me tell you something. You need to do that before you leave today. You need to do that. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus who came into the world. He gave His life for you. Listen to these scriptures. And some of you, you've given your heart to the Lord, but you're not where you know you should be. You kind of gotten off track. You've left stuff just have an effect on you. Hear the word of the Lord again. 1 John 1:7, 8, 9, and 10. He says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God for that. Verse 8 says, if we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, it's not even in us. My friends, today, you can be as good as they come. You can have it all. You can be like my wife. The two worst sins you've ever done in your life is chew gum in Mrs. Sykes' Sunday school class and register Democrat when her grandmother said register Republican. Those are the two sins that my wife did. But still, she was born into the world with sin in her life. My brothers and my sisters, as good as you are, as good as your parents may be, you were born into the world with a spot of stain of sin on your life that you and I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from. And he says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceived. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter. The truth, he says, it's not even in you. And then verse 9, here's for the real people. He says, if we confess our sin, if we come to our senses, okay, I know I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. He said, if we confess those sins, and not every one that you've ever done, you can't keep track of them. You can't list every sin you've ever done and confess it to God. But the category of sin in your life, you can bring it to God and say, God, I have messed up big. I confess that. The Bible goes on to say, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, how many of you are thankful for that verse in the Scripture today? And then he reiterates what he already said. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word isn't in us. John 3, the Bible says that a man by the name of Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night. Nick at night. I like that. He said, Rabbi, I know you're a teacher. You've come from God because no one can do what you do unless God is in him. And Jesus said to him in verse 3, he said, unless one is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. For those of you who have never given your life to Christ and you're not born again, you can't even see things that God has for your life. You can have all the resolutions, all the goals. You can do all of that. But if you've not given your life to Christ, and if you, as Jesus said, if you have not been born again, you can't see the things that He has for you. But when your eyes are open, He shows you things that you could never even believe. So how do you do that, Pastor? Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to use your mouth. You've got to say it from your heart. You have to believe it in your heart. Maybe you're here today and you've done that, but you're saying, yeah, but Pastor, I've made mistakes. You don't know the flub-ups and the mess-ups that I've done. No, I don't. And thank God you don't know all about mine either. But the Scripture goes on in Psalm 103. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you grateful for that today? I mean, you've slipped under the crack many times and have not gotten what you deserved. That's when people say, well, they're going to get theirs. Well, they're going to pay for that. Excuse me? Not if you give your life to Christ. Not if you trust in the blood that was shed at Calvary for the sins that you have committed. I thank God that He doesn't treat you as what your sin deserves or repay you according to your iniquity. My goodness, if He did, no one would be here today. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, He's removed our transgressions from us. My goodness, are you grateful for that today? Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. How many of you are thankful for God's mercy this morning? Come on. Come on. I'm not giving you a free pass to go out and act like the devil either. God wants you and I, our hearts, to be transformed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, before you leave today, and I sensed in my heart, God was drawing many today, that people were going to come today and give their lives to Christ in January of a brand new year. You need to do that. And if you're here today, you've just been away from Him. It's time for you to come home to Him. This is what's next for you. Second, you get that straight. God wants to help you and I live with great vision in our lives, because vision will keep you from negative propensities and lead you towards the plan that He has for your life. This is so amazing. Vision doesn't stop when you are faced with challenges in your life either. Sometimes people get a vision. I want to do this. I believe God's calling me to go here. Do this, go there, do that. In the moment we come up against a little resistance, we say, well, must be God wasn't in that. Well, of course He was in it. God always puts resistance in our lives to bring muscle and strength in our lives. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, brothers, I don't consider myself have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind. I strain towards what is ahead. I press towards the goal to win a prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press towards something bigger than who and what I am. I push through the resistance that would try to keep me from being who and what God has called me to be. When my emotions are trying to get me to do what is unhealthy and wrong for me to do, I've got to push past that. And I've got to see what God has called me to be. And just because maybe you're here and you didn't see it come to pass in the time frame, I'm talking to people today that you gave up on something years ago because you didn't see it happen in the time frame that you hoped it for. Let me tell you, God did not change His mind on that. Maybe some of you are hoping for a job or a career. You were hoping to get some kind of an increase, and for whatever reason, you were passed over and you stopped at that point and you gave up. I feel God pushing me right now when I'm saying this. You stopped right there. And that wasn't God telling you to stop. He was just causing you to pick up that weight one more time. Flex that thing one more time. Grow a little bit more muscle in your life. And stop saying, well, it can't work for me. It'll never happen for me. Yes, it will. God is just allowing your resistance to make you just a little stronger, a little better. Go a little further. Jump a little farther. Run a little faster. And I know everything that I'm saying is going to come back and bite me on Monday morning when I'm in the gym. You got to realize that your end will look nothing like your beginning. That's why you and I need faith to help us from the point that we're at to get to where we need to go or what we need to do. God told Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2, He said, the Lord gave me this answer. This is for some of you. Write it down on tablets clearly what I reveal to you so that you can read it at a glance. Put it in writing, because it is not yet time for it to come true. For the time is coming quickly, and I will show you what will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will take place. It will not be delayed. Some of you have had dreams and visions, and you've never taken a moment to write those down on paper. I love how the message says it. The Lord answered, write, write what you see. Some of you, this is your homework for this week. Write it down. He goes on in the message, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. You got to have that down. You got to keep on looking at it. You got to lift your head a little higher, as God told Abram. Come out of that tent. Lift up your eyes. See beyond where you can see in your natural. Sometimes you got to close your eyes to the world and to all the stuff in your life. And you got to see with spiritual eyes where God is going to take you. Lift your head and know that God is already making a way. He's preparing a path for you. And I want you to know something. God is attracted to those that have great vision in their lives. Don't be afraid of the greatest visions in your life. And then last, number three, Andy, just come on up and play with me on this. Discover the best life that you have through serving others. I love the opportunities that are here and around here every day of the week. Some young men that come in here through the week and just, they want to help, they want to serve Tuesday nights. There is a plethora in a myriad of directions that you can go and serve. But sometimes your vision is discovered in your serving others. I love this quote Albert Schweitzer said. He said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. How to serve. Not just serving ourselves. Not just doing what we want to benefit us. What a small life that is. What a little life that we live if we just live to satisfy us. You can live, my pastor Tommy Barnett says, with your hands open, and you'll only get something twice a year, on your birthday and on Christmas. But if you live with your hands wide open, always giving, you get something every day of the year. Jesus said this, he said, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. The righteous will answer and said to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And he answered and he said, truly I say, if you done it unto the least of these, you did it to me. An interesting thought today when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. The Bible says that he washed 12 disciples' feet. One of them was Judas, who Jesus, being both God and man, knew what Judas was going to do. Yet he washed his feet. Serving. Two places in the Bible where it talks about water and washing. That place with Jesus, and the other place is where Pilate washed his hands. And he says, I will have nothing to do with this, when they were asking for Barabbas or Jesus. One was serving himself. The other was serving those who are around him. Where are you today in that? What would your life be this year if every day you started off, you made a decision, I'm going to serve in some way. I'm going to give my life away in some way. I was mindful this week. This is not a political statement at all, but I'm cognizant of the lives that are being affected by this government shutdown. I sent a message to Kathy this week. I said, buy more food from FoodLink. Some of you don't even know that we have a food pantry next door that is open twice a week on Thursdays and Saturdays. We have a clothing connection in the basement of the church that serves people all the time, myriads of people. The Adopt-A-Block that's looking out and helping people, St. Anthony's on Tuesday nights, giving and being a blessing and showing others the love of God. But I was thinking about that. So there's some people that maybe they're going to struggle at this time. This isn't a time for you and I to sit back and fold our arms and take some political position. This is a time for you and I to love humanity. I said, this is a time for you and I to love humanity. And God will bring people to you. You know when you really serve the Lord? Is when you serve somebody that can't do anything back for you. I don't know if this is working. You got the mic on up there, Ben? I see Aaron up there. Maybe you and her are up there making out. Nobody can hear me out here. I said, do you know when you really serve is when you serve people that can't do anything back for you. You serve people and nobody knows you did it. You help people and nobody knows you helped them. But you know who does know? He knows. And he keeps track of everything that you do. And I'm going to just slide this in there. I didn't say this in the first service. He also knows when you and I have the ability to do something and we don't. Remember the story about the Samaritan? The priest walked by. He cut across. Another walked by. He cut across. But the third, he walked up. He picked up the man that was bleeding and hurting and wounded, helped him, bandaged him, and then he took him to a place, said, whatever it costs, I'll be back, I'll pay the bill. I sense this so strongly in my heart today. Some of you are at a moment in your life in 2019. Maybe you have been affected by the self-serving, selfish bug. And you just live for you. If you're really going to find out what's next in your life, you're going to learn to serve somebody. You are going to learn to serve someone. Not someone that's going to say thank you later. I mean, you might serve somebody, you might help somebody, and they may look right. You know how much food and things we've given the people that after we've given it to them, they get so many feet away and turn around and look at us? And I know this is going to offend somebody when I say this, but get over it because this is real life. We give somebody food, God bless you, they take 10 steps away from us and they turn around and they just give us the finger or whatever. Oh, I know that's surprise. Hey, if you're going to serve humanity, you can't be offended and stop when that happens. I love what Matthew Barnett says. He says, people want to be a bridge for God to people. But if you're going to be a bridge, sometime you're going to get walked on. Okay. That's it. I want prayer people that are going to pray. Somebody needs to give their life to Christ today. You need to do that before you leave. Somebody, you need to just get some things right in your life today. You need to do that before you leave. Some of you, you've been flailing over things that have troubled you. You've been contemplating making lifelong decisions in moments. In moments where your vision has been blurred. Close your eyes with me. Bow your head all over the house. Spirit of the living God. God, we just ask you today. 2019. To be the year that we live for you completely. We yield our hearts and our lives over to you. Totally. I pray for my friends, my brothers, and my sisters today. You'll strengthen them. You'll bless them. You bring hope and encouragement to them. Now, in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. Man, I love you. It's so beautiful to see you all today. Hug somebody before you leave. Shake somebody's hand. Look somebody in the eye. Tell them it's so good to see you today. And go in his favor. You need prayer, you come on down. Let one of these folks pray with you and over you.